Amen. Thank you, Mark. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our worship service. Great to see you here. We've survived the first storm. It passed us by, pretty much, so we didn't get damaged too much from this storm, but great to see you all here. Let's begin by turning to hymn number 100 for prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you for the words of both of these hymns we've just sung. Thank you, Father, for who you are. We praise and glorify you and the Son and the Spirit, creators of the universe, the creator of the universe. You've made everything, including us. Father, we are in awe of you. Just with that fact alone, to look at the creation and all of its intricacy and so many different species and how it all works together, even in the fallen state because of our sin, we still see your power and your majesty in the creation. But you have done so much more than just that. You sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, to die for our sins and to rise again, to save us from ourselves, from our own evil devices, to fill us with your Spirit, to have us be born again and on our way to heaven. And you give us the power to live for you. And Father, you give us one another. What a joy to be together with brothers and sisters in Jesus each week, worshiping you together, encouraging one another in our faith, and looking at the scriptures, learning from you how firm a foundation that is laid for us in your word. And Father, we pray that as we worship in this hour, as we fellowship, as we hear the word proclaimed, that your Spirit will move and do his mighty work in each of us, helping us to be closer to you and to one another, and to prepare us for a new week of service until the Lord comes to call us home. We commit this hour to you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
This morning we're going to be reading from Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 1 through verse 15. The temptation of Christ. Verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it may be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. And to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the regions round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Let's have a word of prayer together. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house this morning. We do worship you. We know that you are worthy of all of our praise and thanksgiving. And we pray that you'll help us to walk in fellowship with you and do your will day by day. Lord, you know each one who is here this morning. You know our hearts, you know our preoccupations, our difficulties that we may be going through. And we ask you to strengthen each one. And if there be one who has never come to Christ and come to accept him as their Lord and Savior, may that be the decision that person would make today. May your will be done. Lord, we do pray for those who cannot be with us today. We know there's a number of people that are sick with the COVID or the flu or something similar. Others, we think of Lydia who had the stroke. We pray for her that she will recover. We pray for Rick Meister that you'll be with him and meet his needs as well. And each and every one that's going through this. We do pray, our Father, for our church. We pray that you will help us to be able to continue going forth and reaching people with the gospel. And we pray that your holy will might be done in the service today and throughout the coming days. We think of these special occasions, the movie, and other things that we'll be doing soon. The Gideon speaker next week. We just pray your blessings upon the Gideons and all the work that they are doing, and pray that you will use them in a mighty way. We do want to pray for Bob Kirkner. Our Father, we just ask you to strengthen him and bless him today and meet his needs. We pray for Marilyn also, that you'll see her through her sickness. And Lord, help us all to look to you and find the strength we need for each and every day. We thank you, Lord, that you are with us. We can put our faith and trust in you completely. And no matter what may happen around us, we know that you're always true, you're always faithful, and we can be encouraged and strengthened. So may your will be done today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So believers are urged to bring every burden and temptation to the Lord Jesus, who has experienced these same temptations and understands all of our fears and our failures, and he offers us his mercy and grace. When we fail and when he enables us to not be in despair, to keep on trusting him. You know, Jesus taught us to pray. He says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Everyone faces temptation of one kind or another. Some of us are more susceptible to lustful thoughts or greed. Others to spreading gossip and doing various things. We all have our temptations. Pride is the downfall of many, while giving in to anger and talking revenge causes some to stumble. There's all kinds of things that we face in life. Is it a sin to be tempted? No, not really. In all points, like as we are, Jesus was tempted, and yet he did not sin. You see? So temptation is not a sin. It's yielding to that temptation. That's when we fall short, and we have to ask the Lord to forgive us. You know? What happens when you fail? When you fall? That's the end. God said, okay, I've had it with you. That's it. Right? No. No. Not at all. It says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Right? We are cleansed in the precious blood of Jesus. He died on the cross to save us from our sins. And we now are able to continue on, even though many times we do stumble and fall. The Lord is able to keep us and to pick us up, and we can go again. Both Matthew and Luke tell about the temptations that Jesus endured. And Luke tells us about the temptations that he had, that he overcame, especially that we read here this morning. And we want to look at this passage in particular, in Luke chapter 4, and beginning at verse 1. We noticed before, Luke presents Jesus as the perfect man. This is his picture of Jesus. You know, each of the Gospels has a different aspect of Jesus that they present. Matthew talks about the king. Mark talks about the... what does Mark talk about, Grace, Steve? Mark talks about...
Servant.
Servant, right, okay. And Luke talks about the perfect man. John talks about the perfect God, right? He is God. But he is also, it's man. And that's the way Luke presents him. And consequently, as man, he was tempted. He was tested, if you will. God put him through all these things so that we might see who he is and that we might follow his example as much as possible and look to him for the forgiveness that we need. So, even though he was without sin, we find, first of all, he was baptized in order to fulfill all righteousness, right? He went to John the Baptist and told him he wanted to be baptized. And he was. And he followed his people. He identified himself with other people, right? And then it says that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, came upon him at his baptism and drove him into the wilderness. Now somebody said, I don't know what he drove him in with, but anyway, that's beside the point. We find here that Holy Spirit is upon Jesus. Now he was already God, we know that, and this can get a little bit complicated when you think about it, but Jesus did his work here on earth through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's very clear from what the scriptures teach us. And so here the Holy Spirit fills Jesus, and he takes him, he's led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Out there where there's nothing else, no one to help, he's all alone. And so he's there, and it says being 40 days tempted of the devil. So the devil shows up, and he's there bringing this temptation to Jesus. Now, so we find here that the place of his temptation was the wilderness. All alone, face to face with his arch enemy, the devil, the fallen angel Lucifer, who wanted to be like God and sinned against him and fell. Now he's seeking to destroy as much of God's work as he possibly can. So what's the duration here of the temptation? Notice it says that 40 days. 40 days he was tempted. 40 is often the number of testing in the Bible. You know, when God sent the great flood back in the days of Noah, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. Remember? And then in Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, right? And Goliath, the giant, taunted Israel for 40 days before David put his lights out, right? David defeated him in the name of the Lord, yeah? He says. The giant came to him with all of his armor and everything, and David says, but I come to you in the name of the Lord God of Israel, right? And he threw the stone and killed the giant. 40 days, that's a long time, you know, think of that. How would you like to be tempted continually for 40 days? Maybe you have been, I don't know. But at any rate, it's not something that we would relish doing, right? No. We would much rather be comfortable in ourselves and not have to face these temptations. So what's the description here of the temptation? It's three temptations here that are listed that we read about, that Jesus went through, that Satan brought against the Savior. And there are three basic temptations that we all have to face. Look in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. 1 John 2:15. The Apostle John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So the three areas he speaks of here, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And this is what he brought against Jesus. First of all, he says, to satisfy your fleshly needs. And this might sound like a very reasonable thing. Notice in verse 2, it says that being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. Okay, he's hungry. And the devil said to him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it may be made bread. Okay, Jesus is hungry. What do you do when you're hungry? You eat, right? Now, this is Jesus, he's able. He was able to do this. We know that. Because later, when he fed the 5,000, you remember? He took just a little bit of bread and a few fish, multiplied it so it covered the whole area, right? Covered everybody. They had plenty to eat. He could very easily have turned this stone into bread and eaten and been satisfied, right? But he did not. Why didn't he? Well, I think it was because of who suggested it, right? This was a testing. Jesus was there to overcome his fleshly needs and to depend upon God completely. Jesus was hungry. He had nothing to eat. Satan urged him to turn the stone into bread and satisfy his hunger. Seems very logical. Jesus had the power, but he did not do it because he was not going to do what Satan urged him to do. He was willing to suffer physical hunger in order to obey the Father. Now that's something we find throughout the life of Jesus. He always did that which pleased the Father. Whatever the Father told him to do, that's what he did. You see? Leaving us an example that we should be the same way, right? What God says we should seek to fulfill, right? In our lives. And not do anything that would be against his will. Jesus emphasized rather the obeying the word of God, the priority of obeying the word of God. Notice what he says in verse 4. Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." You see? Now that's taken from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. And Jesus quoted again and again in response to what Satan was saying to him, the word of God. He used it over and over. Now that's certainly something that we should take into account and realize that we have a weapon against temptation that we can go to and say, "Hey, what does God say about that?" And that's what he says here. The bread is important. It's important to eat, to be healthy and all that. But he says it's more important to obey the word of God. Right? And he says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So Satan offered Jesus earthly power and prestige. Notice in verse 5, this is the second one. He's looking at him in the pride of life. The devil taking him up into the high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine." See, that's what he wants. He wants us to worship him. He wants us to look to him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." So here, once again, he's quoting from the Old Testament in Deuteronomy 6:13. It speaks, God is the only one that we should worship. We should not worship anyone else. He's the only one worthy of our worship. And Satan speaks of himself as the god of this world. The Bible calls him that, right? For some reason, God has allowed Satan to have this power that he has in the world, and is letting him run free, so to speak, and to tempt people. I don't understand it all, but I know that one of these days, God's going to say, no, that's enough. He's going to take him and he's going to put him in the lake of fire, right? Satan is going to be destroyed in that sense. He'll no longer have the power over people that he has today. And all those who follow him, who listen to him and obey him, will be put in there as well. So Satan here is seeking to draw Jesus away from allegiance to God the Father and accept him. You see, just like he did with Eve there in the Garden of Eden, you remember? The serpent. Satan spoke through the serpent and said, oh, God wouldn't do that to you. You know, he's not going to kill you. What do you think? Huh? No. And you can go ahead and eat of this fruit, even though God has commanded you not to. What's he going to do? You know, you think God's going to kill you? No, he's too good for that, right? He didn't really mean what he said. And so he persuaded her, and she ate of the fruit. And sure enough, she died, didn't she? Adam did too. And so did we. That's where it all started, right? Disobeying God and falling into sin and brought sin into the world. And Satan is still out there doing the same thing today, isn't he? And so we have to be sure that we follow the word of God. God himself, to worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So God is the only one to whom we owe this allegiance. Now when I say God, I mean God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three persons in one God. So don't misunderstand me. Satan is challenging Jesus to prove who he is. And here he says, you fall down and worship me and we'll make it well. So then Satan challenges Jesus to prove who he is. He says, if thou be the Son of God. Now Satan knew who he was. He knew he was the Son of God. And some translations say, since you are the Son of God. Maybe that's what he meant. But at any rate, you want to prove it. And so he says, he brought him to the temple in Jerusalem. Now, I don't know if this was a vision or what it was, but anyhow, somehow Satan took Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple, verse 9, and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. What does he say next? For it is written. Did you know Satan knows the scriptures? You know, you can know the scriptures and still not be right with God. You can know the scriptures and not be saved. You have to accept what God says and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, receive him into your life in order to have his salvation, right? That's what it takes. Because here the devil himself is saying, it is written. And you know, there's a lot of these so-called people that are going around saying it is written, and then they say something altogether different than what God has said. Huh? We have to be very careful. Don't follow that. Make sure you've got your Bible. Open it up and look and check it out. He says, it's written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Go ahead and prove it, Jesus. Prove who you are. Jump off the temple, and the angels are going to protect you. Right? Jesus said, oh, no. He says, Jesus answered him and said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You know, that's like the people well, I won't, shouldn't say any where they are, but you know who they are. Those people that handle the snakes, you know, over in the mountains someplace, they'll take the snake out and show their faith by wrapping the snake around them, and, you know, that's tempting the Lord your God, right? Now, there were occasions, like Paul, right? He got bit by a poisonous snake, and it did him no harm. But it's not that he was trying, you know. He wasn't trying God. God protected him from that, and sometimes he can do that, right? But we're not to tempt the Lord our God. We're not to do things like that that would cause shame. So anyway, we find here that he says, do not tempt the Lord your God. And then it says the devil ended his temptation, departed from him for a season. You see that? The devil's not finished here. He's leaving for a while, but he'll be back. You know? And that's with us. You know, we go through some great temptation and we think, oh, well, I'm glad that's over. But don't get too comfortable, because he'll be back later with something else, you know. Anyway, here we find that he went away. And it says in another place that the angels ministered to Jesus at this time of his weakness. And he was restored. Anyway, we find here, he says, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. Notice, the Holy Spirit is still with him, right? All that he did in going through the temptation and testings, yes, the Spirit was there to reinforce him. And also now, the Spirit is with him as he goes back into his ministry and begins to work. And we have to work in the power of the Spirit of God, or we cannot accomplish anything. You see? It's God himself who has to work in and through his servants. And here Jesus is showing that, going into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. So we find here the Lord Jesus overcoming all the temptations and testings that Satan brought against him, and winning the victory, and proceeding right on with his service, reaching out to people and bringing them to himself. So what is the practical message for us? We find here Jesus was tempted as a man and defeated Satan as a man. We can claim the victory that he had over Satan and over temptations as we depend upon the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, let's take a look there for a second. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. There it is. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. You see? So the Lord will be with us and help us through the difficult times of testing and temptation, and give us the victory over it. Jesus defeated Satan with the Word of God, as we said, and certainly we have that at our disposal. We can use the Bible to help us. Jesus depended on the power of the Holy Spirit. We need him to guide us. Satan knows the Bible, as I said, how to use it, so we have to be careful. You know, just because somebody's using the Bible doesn't necessarily mean that they're telling you the truth. Satan can tempt you wherever you are. He tempted Jesus, what, in the wilderness? On the temple? on a high mountain, wherever he was, he could tempt him. Sin is a gradual process, and we have to be alert to what is coming and allow the Lord to guide us. Satan's temptations were first reasonable, then questionable, and finally totally objectionable. Because of Christ's victory, we can claim the Word of God and know that we can resist the devil, and he will flee from us. Tells us that, right? So we need to make sure that we, as we face a life and all that it holds, you know, these temptations don't come around with a label on them. They don't tell you what they are, you know. You just have to be ready and walk in fellowship with the Lord and trust him and allow him to guide you and not to fall prey to sin and to ungodliness. So may the Lord help us in this new year. I didn't say Happy New Year, did I? But I will now. I hope we have a Happy New Year and that the Lord will guide us and lead us throughout this year that we might bring glory to his name. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for your word to our hearts today. Help us to face the testings and trials that we have with victory in Christ Jesus. We're looking to you, trusting you, and pray that your holy will be done in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.